here with us for the morning show. So we talk with booksellers all hour long. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thousands of indie bookstores across the country, they're in the same boat. They're closed to the public and shifting to online sales. We're finding out how local booksellers are coping and what they're reading in this difficult time. Readers, we want to hear from you too. What have you been reading as you hunker down? What books or poems, what essays are getting you through? How are you supporting your indie bookstore, by the way? We're at 800-642-1234. Kaylin Bovink owns the bookstore in Appleton. Kaylin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. We also have Nancy Bainan, co-manager and children's book buyer for Arcadia Books in Spring Green. Nancy, welcome to you.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
And Margaret Leonard is also with us, co-founder and co-owner of Daughters Books in Eau Claire. Margaret, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
Well, we're seeing bookstores starting to do curbside delivery, others going totally online, and others having to shut down for the foreseeable future. Margaret, let's start with you. How is Daughters doing in Eau Claire?
Well, we're actually doing quite well. We have shut down. Our physical location is closed, and we've moved everything online. I've moved the bookshop to my home when I ship out of here. But our community has really embraced us and been really incredible. So we've been pretty fortunate. We're also really small, so we don't have employees. So it's basically just me and my co-owner. So in those ways, we've been able to adapt, I think, in ways that larger stores maybe have struggled with. There's other challenges, but it's been going all right.
So. I imagine it's hard, though, for you not to go into the bookstore each day because that's like a companion to you. It's another piece of your life.
Yeah, it really is. I think it has highlighted the community that grows up around your shop without even realizing it. You really miss, you know, you read a book or you see something and you know which customer would really love it. And all you want to do is like have them come into the shop and tell them about it. And that I've definitely been missing that for sure. So it will be wonderful to be able to see people again.
Oh, Kaylin, how are you doing at the bookstore in Appleton? That's new and used books. How is it going for you?
Exhausting. I have some 3 staff members. All of them I have off, but I'm still paying them. So it's me doing everything. I had to do some pretty huge pivoting. We did have some online sales previously, but I had to make it more robust now. And thanks to a lot of our amazing regulars, we'll limp through just fine, as long as it doesn't go too long. But I get up in the morning, I start work, I work until I go to bed.
Oh, wow. So are you doing this all out of your home still, or are you at the shop? How is that working?
So I go down to the shop every other day to get the books to ship out. And then the other days I work from home. So it's a little of both.
How is your inventory doing?
Well, inventory, I mean, we've got a lot of books, but we don't have used books coming in at the moment. Hopefully once we can start to do curbside again, I can kind of do an amended way to take in some books, keep myself safe and have some employees start working again, on those. But you know, I don't have used books coming in at the moment. So, yeah. You know, some of my best sellers are not quite there like they normally are.
Nancy, how is Arcadia Books in Spring Green doing? That too is a real community rallying place.
It is. We've been incredibly busy with online sales, and we're looking forward to Friday when our customers can come pick up books. We're still not going to hand them directly to them, so we still won't get our contact. Maybe we'll just wave through the window.
No.
But it has been hard because we also have the Paper Crane Cafe, and our little shop is just a community hub. After school, it's just filled with kids from elementary to high school, and then we have our older gentlemen, our coffee clatch. So it's just a fantastic mix of ages and people just hanging out and and enjoying each other's company. So that's been hard not to see our friends in person, but we are excited to get books in people's hands. The inside of the store doesn't look quite as neat and tidy as usual. There are mailing envelopes everywhere and packing materials, but we're just trucking away and trying to get books into people's hands. And we're incredibly appreciative of our customers who just continue to support us.
We're talking with three Wisconsin booksellers this hour. That's Nancy Bainan in Spring Green, Kaylin Bovink in Appleton, and Margaret Leonard in Eau Claire. They're sharing what they're reading and how their bookshops are getting by with your suggestions and reading tips right now during the pandemic at 800-642-1234. Readers, we want to hear from you. How have you been supporting your local bookshop? What are you reading these days? Is it books or poems or essays? What's getting you by? You can call in at 800-642-1234. Well, Kaylin and all of you, I'm sure, are really big readers, but I'm wondering, have your reading habits changed during the pandemic? Are you reading what you normally would? Kaylin, let's start with you.
The first 2 weeks, I had a hard time reading, and I just had to change what I was reading to something that was a little more escapism and funny. And that helped. But in the beginning, you know, I was watching too much news and applying for too many grants and busy with other things. So it was a little difficult to concentrate on what I was reading. You know, now I'm back to my normal amounts of reading. You know, I've always been one that's reading 2-3 books at a time.
Even when you're dealing with books all day long, you can still set that aside and read.
Yes, yes.
I love it. Margaret, how is it going for you?
Yeah, I guess I would echo some of those things. I have two very small children at home, so that has definitely impacted some of my ability to read the way that I would like to read. I've definitely been finding myself gravitating toward just really good stories that you can kind of immerse yourself in. So even if you only have, you know, 5-20 minutes, something small, you can kind of escape into those places for a while. So I've been finding places to do that. I sort of need that to stay sane and like a nice mom and person. So I've had to shift a little bit from some of the, sometimes I like to read some heavier, more depressing things, and I haven't been going to those things quite as much lately. But
Nancy, how about you? Have your reading habits shifted at all?
Well, I gave myself a little crib list of all of my favorites from the last couple of months in preparation for this, and I ended up with a baker's dozen, and then realized they were all fiction and all by women writers. And I don't know why. That was not intentional at all, but that's what it is. But I have some heavier books, about kind of, not the nicest of subjects, but then I have books that I call brain sorbet, like books that you need when your brain needs a little cleansing after you've read something really heavy and difficult. So it's been a mix of that, because I'm the children's books buyer. I do a lot of reading of YA young adult books and chapter books and that as well. Which can also be super heavy.
Yeah, sure.
But also delightfully wonderful as well.
We're talking with several indie booksellers about how they're getting through this time, what books they're picking up. We have Margaret Leonard in Eau Claire. We have Kaylin Bovink in Appleton and Nancy Bainan in Spring Green. Have you taken this time to hunker down and tackle a big, difficult book? Maybe you're looking for some brain sorbet, or you've turned to some easy breezy beach reads. Let us know what you're reading. 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute for more conversation with our indie booksellers here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking with indie booksellers here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Between 2009 and 2018, indie bookstores proved to be surprisingly resilient. According to the American Booksellers Association, there was a 49% growth in the number of stores during this period. We're looking at the realities of small bookstores right now and what booksellers are reading. Have your reading tendencies changed during the pandemic? Do you have more time to read now? Or as an essential worker, do you miss this part of your life? Let's talk. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Margaret Leonard with us of Daughters Books in Eau Claire, Kaylin Bovink of the bookstore in Appleton, and Nancy Bainan of Arcadia Books in Spring Green. They stay with us. So let's get to recommendations. You're all in the business of recommending books to people. Margaret, what are you recommending right now, and what are you picking up?
Well, one of the most recent books that I've read that I loved is Writers and Lovers by Lily King. If you're a person like me who like doesn't believe hype, you should stop listening right now because I'm going to oversell this book. I loved it so much. I've never read anything by Lily King before. This was my first, and she is such a fantastic writer. She created this such an authentic protagonist in Casey. And it's really a story about grief and also about financial troubles. And she's also just so great at writing about someone who works as a server. I worked as a server for like 5 or 6 years, and this just felt like such a real depiction of what that job is. I couldn't put it down. It was such a page turner. I really loved it. That's one that I've loved recently.
Another one you liked is How Much of These Hills is Gold?
Yeah, yes. That's by C. Pam Zhang. I think I've also in this time been trying to pick up books by debut writers because, you know, their tours are getting changed, and I feel like it's just like people supporting us, it's important to support them as well. So I've been trying to read lots of those, and I loved it. It's a retelling of the American West and the gold rush from a Chinese American perspective. And it's about two kids whose parents abandoned them. I don't want to give too much away about the plot, but it's just the writing is incredible. It's really visceral, really immersive. It's like a whole experience, which I feel like, you know, I'm like really craving those experiences, those reading experiences where you feel like you're with another person, even though you're alone in a room. So I loved that one. It was great.
We're talking with three Wisconsin booksellers this hour. We're talking with Margaret Leonard there in Eau Claire, Kaylin Bovink in Appleton, Nancy Bainan in Spring Green, getting recommendations right now, getting insights on how you're supporting your local bookstore at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Lori now in Milwaukee. Hi, Lori.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, and just glad to hear about books as always. I'm an avid reader, but I'm just curious for all the ladies, including yourself, lady who's the host, what is everybody reading to help soothe their soul at this time right now? I'll say what I'm reading. I'm reading Collected Stories by Ruth Rendell, this English writer I had never heard of. My sister sold her house, and I just took a whole lot of books. She's like, you know, you don't need any more books, but I got a lot of books additional to the four bookcases I've already got. But I was just floored by this wonderful writer. She's kind of twisted. I like her. And this is all the way back in the 1986, 85.
Okay.
So, and also, if you know anything about Ruth Rendell, can you elaborate a little bit more about her? And I'll listen. Thank you.
Lori, thank you. Who would like to start here?
I can jump in. I mean, I've worked with these books for many, many years before I owned the bookstore, and she's always been kind of one of those favorite mystery authors who's got a little bit of twist. One of my favorite mystery authors is William Kent Kruger. It's got a good twist to it, and there's a Native American element and like a family element to it that's kind of just, you know, takes you back from murder mayhem, but there's good in the world showing through that book.
Yeah.
Or through all of his books, I should say.
Kaylin, how about you? What are you reading right now? And is it challenging? Is it thinky? What is it?
I just finished Jim Butcher, one of his Dresden Files, and that is totally not a thinky book. That's an easy, fun book. But at the same time, I was also reading The Lady's Handbook for Her Mysterious Illness.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a thinker, and definitely a heavy subject.
I have it right in front of me. That's Sarah Ramey and the illness she chronicles going through and trying to get a diagnosis and not being heard.
Yeah, I have a similar issue to her. So it's, you know, I don't want to say it's refreshing, but it's nice to know, you know, you're not the only one that goes through all these medical trials.
Nancy, how about you? What are you picking up these days?
I just last night finished Redhead by the Side of the Road by Ann Tyler, and she is just a master storyteller. She just never disappoints. And this character of hers, Micah Mortimer is his name. He is just so incredibly set in his ways and also is incredibly obtuse to the rest of the world. I just laughed and shook my head, and it's a great story. and at the same time, I'm almost finished with one that I stayed up way too late last night reading called The Sin Eater by Megan Campisi, which is super fun. It's set in like an alternate Tudor court, and the Sin Eater is this person that goes in and eats food that is in place of the sins of the dying, and then she must take their secrets to the grave. It's super fun and creepy and thrilling, and you know, it's like a brain sorbet. So that one's been very fun. There's this other one called Enter the Aardvark by Jessica Anthony. I don't know if anybody else has read that one. It like defies definition. It's just crazy and alternates between Victorian London and modern day Washington, D.C. And the thing that combines these two stories is a stuffed aardvark. So, you know, you just have to read it. I can't even explain it.
Margaret, is there anything zany like that for you? Like, you know, it doesn't have to be an aardvark.
No, actually, I just thought of two that are sort of zany. One is called Barn 8. It's by Deb Olin Unferth, and that is the chicken heist novel that you never knew you needed, which I was not prepared for it, but it was great. And there's also another one called Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. And I was skeptical when I picked it up because it's about two kids that spontaneously combust, and they're fine. The job of the protagonist is sort of to control these two kids. You know, it felt like such a good metaphor for parenting. And it really was just so much like funnier and more honest and refreshing than I was expecting. So that one I think is a great one if you're looking for sort of like funny escapism with a dose of like a good friendship story in there too. So
Caitlin, anything self-combusting for you? Anything pretty zany off the wall?
I mean, Dresden Files are definitely zany off the wall. When I need a little zany off the wall in the real world, I'll read like Bill Bryson, his books. He does some nonfiction that's really hilarious, talking about just his things that have happened in his life that you just shake your head and go, what?
Didn't you say that you would just even read his grocery list?
That was William Kent Kruger. I will read his grocery list.
So what is it about that author, Caitlin, that really gets you?
It's just it's a nice fast pace. It's got where elements to it where it's about healing as people. But then it also does have that good fast paced mystery where you're like, okay, how are we going to solve this? How are they going to happen? How are they going to get past this? And then at the same time, I'll be reading through it and the main character, Cork O'Connor, I'll be like, oh my gosh, Cork, go home and take a nap. I am exhausted for you. How are you keeping up with pace? So it just keeps your interest throughout, but without being, you know, but with having some other factors to it other than just fast paced.
Yeah. Caitlin, aren't you also reading a little bit of Octavia Butler, the sci-fi?
I love Octavia Butler.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books is Kindred. And the way she writes, it's she there'll be a strong social justice theme in there without you really realizing it at first. Some of her books will make you a little uncomfortable. Some of them will make you think, but the whole time they'll kind of, you know, as a normal story, make you go, okay, how are we gonna get from point A to point B to finish and solve the problem that's going on in the story?
And she kind of foresaw a lot of things, aspects of life today, which is also
yeah.
We have three independent booksellers as our guide to reading during the pandemic and what it's like for small bookstores right now. We have Nancy Bainan of Arcadia Books in Spring Green, Kaylin Bovink there of the bookstore in Appleton, and Margaret Leonard of Daughters Books in Eau Claire, and you. And by the way, I just reread Little Women. I introduced it to my daughter, and we worked through it together chapter by chapter. Are you turning to classics at this time? What authors help inform how you see the world right now? We're at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We here at WPR want to give a heartfelt thank you to everyone who donated during our spring member drive. Support from people like Lynn in Cross Plains sustains the trusted news and information you value on the Ideas Network. To ensure the resources are in place, we do fundraising throughout the year, which has all been affected at this time. So if you missed the spring drive, your gift now at WPR.org is especially important. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're catching up with independent booksellers. Like many small businesses, bookstores are in free fall. They can't do the thing that they do best, which is bring people together in the same place. Some are still holding events on Zoom. Others are rapidly going to online sales. What questions do you have for the booksellers and what they're experiencing? What are you reading right now, and what suggestions would you like to make? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. We have Nancy Bainan, who co-manages Arcadia Books in Spring Green. Kaylin Bovink owns the bookstore in Appleton. And Margaret Leonard, she co-owns Daughters Books in Eau Claire. And we're working through the recommendations. Margaret, back to you. You also have been reading Days of Distraction by Alexandra Chang.
Yeah, she's another debut author, and I thought this book was really great, and it's also a good one if you kind of only have a little bit of time to read. It kind of is told in little vignettes almost, but it's about a 20-something tech journalist who is trying to decide whether to follow her long-term partner and boyfriend across the country so he can go to grad school. And it's just this everything is sort of weaved together really nicely. So it's her story in the present day, but also her parents' story when they came from China. And it's really lovely. I thought it was a really strong debut novel.
It was a debut novel. This is her first effort.
Yes. Yeah. Very strong first effort, I would say. It's always nice to find authors when they do a great job with their first book. I always try to, you know, follow everything that they do. I have a kind of a fascination with debut novels. So even when I read a book that's not a debut, then I usually like to go back and read their first book, see where they came from. And I always enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. Kaylin, how about you? You've also been looking at a spiritual side of this and Surya Das, especially the letting go of the person you used to be.
Yeah, I had actually been reading that book before. It's a short little book, but I had started reading it in bits and pieces. And I had started right before all of the closures. And it just was kind of perfect timing that was the book on my stack while this was all going on. Because it kind of looked at things from a Buddhist perspective, but also looking at not just Buddhism, but people as a whole, how dealing with life changes, whether it be a death or sickness or financial trouble, going, hey, you know, this is how I used to be, but that doesn't mean I will always be that. I can be something else.
there's a, you know, some insights on wisdom and humility and compassion as well, which certainly today we all could need more of that.
Definitely. Definitely.
Nancy, you're also reading Afterlife by Julia Alvarez. How's that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I mean, I literally did a happy dance when I got the advanced copy of that. That's her first book in 15 years, her first adult book. And she's just, oh my gosh, the way she writes is just so beautiful. And it's a book that's all about relationships, these four sisters and her the character's retirements and as an early life into her widowhood. It's just so good. Just all about how we're tied together and familial bonds and just beautiful writing because it's Julia Alvarez.
You also make mention that there are some Madison authors, some UW authors who are coming out with books. One is Christina Clancy, The Second Home.
Yes, this book is going to be huge this summer. It's fantastic. It alternates between Milwaukee and Cape Cod. And it's a family that visits this summer home, their second home in Cape Cod every summer. And also about the family ties and how they can be broken and yet repaired. Her writing is just wonderful. If you liked a book like We Were the Mulvaneys or Jane Hamilton as a writer, you'll like Christy Clancy's book. And she's just a delightful, wonderful, wonderful person. So I'm so excited that this is her debut novel, and it's going to be big.
Have you been watching her? I mean, has this been a novel that you know has been a long time in the making?
Well, it has. She was also a professor at Beloit College. And Christy, she's just the realest kind of person you'll meet. She just happened to wander into the bookstore one day and said, "Hey, I have a book coming out." And just handed us an advanced copy of it. And I just loved it. And she's just so unassuming and just real. And that just comes through in her writing. Connect with these characters.
We're talking with three Wisconsin booksellers this hour. We have Nancy Bainan there in Spring Green, Kaylin Bovink in Appleton, and Margaret Leonard in Eau Claire about what they're reading, how their bookstores are getting by. You can join in with what you're reading. Are you rereading reliable old favorites that you know and like? Have you taken this time to tackle maybe a difficult read? What is it? Or have you turned to some more easy, fun reads? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Margaret, going back to some short stories, are there particular books of short stories that you would recommend, or where do you find your short stories?
Yeah, I've actually always loved short stories, and I just finished a great short story collection yesterday. It's called So We Can Glow by Lisa Cross Smith. And I really enjoyed it. It's actually really interesting. There's a lot of stories in it. Some of them are as short as a paragraph. Some of them are a bit longer, you know, closer to like 10, 12 pages or so. But it's really lovely. It's basically about like female love and desire. And I found it to be pretty empowering, really a way to talk about, maybe more explicitly sexual desire as well, in a way that's really relatable, and really sort of goes to places that you don't always let the women aren't always allowed to go to. So I really enjoyed that. I also, just to go to kind of a classic that I just read for the first time, I just read We Have Always Lived in the Castle, which isn't short stories, but it's kind of a shorter novel, almost like a novella. And wow, I know I'm kind of late to the game on that, but it's great. If you want sort of a haunting, unreliable narrator, We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson is really good.
Do you like your short story books to have a theme that's woven throughout, or do you like them to all the short stories to be quite different from each other?
Yeah, That's a great question. I think I do kind of prefer a connective thread of some kind. And that was, I think, what was nice about So We Can Glow. The first half starts with, you know, nothing's very connected. And then all of a sudden you start realizing that she's returning to some of the same characters. And I think that's really, it's really nice. It was surprising to me. I wasn't expecting it. And then you can kind of start, especially since some of her stories in that collection are so short, then you can really get a little bit more of a glimpse into their life. I think that's the thing I've always loved about short stories is that it always kind of feels like you're peeking through a window into like a dinner conversation and that's all you get. And I like that. I think that's kind of a fun way to read.
A little view into the window. Let's bring in a call now. Rob is with us in Radisson. Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What are you reading?
Well, I have two books I'm reading. The first one is titled Before. It's the Hidden DNA of Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google by Scott Galloway. And it's a provocative, strategic look at the way a few companies are remaking the world right before our eyes, but far below the radar. And the second book I'm reading is titled Political Poems, Silver and Golden Threads of Truth by Daryl Winter.
Sounds like they're different, very different pieces of reading there. Do you like to kind of split the difference there and read different genres?
Yeah, I like to mix it up because then it seems like I absorb more of each book.
Okay, yeah. Well, Kaylin, what do you think there? The four, Scott Galloway, and then Political Poems.
I mean, I totally agree with the reading multiple books at a time because I do feel like you absorb more for some reason. It works. You know, he might also like, Eric Larson does a lot of good history, and The Splendid and the Vile just came out, and that's World War II book about Winston Churchill. So that's another, because I noticed his books were kind of had that nonfiction theme to him. He would be a great author to explore for him.
Rob, have you read any of Eric Larson?
No, I have not, but thank you very much for the suggestion.
All right. Well, Rob, take care. Thank you so much for calling in. We're spending the hour with several independent booksellers. We have Kaylin Bovink in Appleton, Nancy Bainan in Spring Green. Margaret Leonard is here from Eau Claire, giving us a sense of their life, what they're reading in these uncertain times. How is your local bookstore holding up? Are they still open? Have you found ways to support them? What is a book that gives you comfort in these times? What do you want to share about books? Still time, 800-642-1234. We'll be back with our booksellers in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. The morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I noticed that my little free library in front of my house was wiped clean, not a book in it by the end of March. We're talking with several local booksellers about their lives right now, how their businesses are doing. We're finding out what they're reading, how they're doing. Have you taken a book from a little free library in your area? Have they changed during the pandemic? Have you contributed to them more often or taken more from them? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We have Margaret Leonard in Eau Claire, Kaylin Bovink in Appleton, and Nancy Bainan in Spring Green. They stay with us for another 10 minutes. Let's go to Russ now in Stoughton and find out what he's reading. Hi, Russ.
Hi, good morning. I find it a little unusual, I guess, or maybe not, because you have three female book owners, and I haven't heard a male author that they recommended or enjoyed, and I was just wondering, you know, why that would be. I personally enjoy reading John D. McDonald's detective series, and Michael Connelly writes the Lincoln Lawyer series, and I'm currently rereading for the first time in 30 or 40 years, Moby Dick by Herman Walk, which I found in a little local lending library, and it's excellent.
Yeah, how is Moby Dick the second time through, Russ? Are you picking up more of the story?
Oh, yeah. I think I might have read it twice way back. And now, you know, the characters, Queequeg and Ahab and all the different things that happen on board. I'm enjoying it. It's sort of like coming back to old friends, you might say. Very enjoyable.
Russ, thank you so much. Nancy, Russ is reuniting with an old favorite there, Moby Dick.
Excellent. Yes, it's now's the time. I noticed somebody ordered War and Peace, so somebody is very adventurous. It's going to be getting that from us. But I'll say William Kent Kruger is definitely a man and a fantastic writer. So, and I think I said earlier that I had chosen all women, but I did not. One of the most important books that I think everybody should look into is called Stamped: Racism, Anti-Racism, and You. And it's by Jason Reynolds and Ibram Kendi, and it's rewritten for young adults. But everybody should read this book. Everybody of voting age, and every high school should. This is the book they should teach in high schools. And if you are a person that likes audiobooks, like I use Libro FM, this is a fantastic one to listen to because Jason Reynolds' reading style is just brilliant and so captivating.
Hmm. Well, Russ, thank you so much. Keep on reading. Let's go to Liz now in Dodgeville. Hi, Liz.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I am reading two excellent books, and I can't think of the name of the authors, but one is fiction called The Overstory, which was lent to me by my brother-in-law, and I'm enjoying that. Different vignettes about people, and the common thread is somehow a tree, although it's not really about trees. And then the other book I heard about on Chapter a Day, it's called The Soul of an Octopus, I think, and I heard it on NPR. And then I ordered it through my local bookstore, Arcadia, which I love.
Thank you.
And I want to put in a plug for people just to take that extra minute and call up their local bookstore because it's super easy and, you know, you kind of vote with your pocketbook about who you want to stay in business. So I wanted to put in the plug in. Hopefully people can visit Arcadia because it's really a wonderful space. And, yeah, so those are the two books I'm really enjoying. They're very different from each other.
Well, Liz, I think you made Nancy's day. how about that? The Overstory, Richard Powers, The Soul of Octopus, Cy Montgomery. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard anything about those two books or have you been recommending them at all?
I know a lot of, the Overstory, I've heard a lot of great things about, and a lot of my friends have been reading that book, and it's one of those, I will get to it. I'll have it in my stack, but I have heard great things about it. I've heard it's not necessarily the easiest story to read, so if you're looking for some brain fluff, not the one to pick up, but definitely one worth keeping an eye on.
Liz, thanks.
That's one of the all-time bestsellers at Arcadia and a huge favorite of the owner of Arcadia, James Bonin. So, yeah, definitely check that one out.
All right. Well, let's bring in Ruth now in Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm a little free library user. There are seven within the walking circumference of my daily walk, and I take a hand sanitizer along. I spray the little knob. I look at the books. If there's one that I want to touch, I usually have gloves on, and then I'll spray the book and wipe it off real quick. However, I have really been amazed at the different collection of books, aside from the children's books, the adult books that are in the Little Free Library. And it's really opened my reading vision because I use my public library, and I'm a big fan of Santa Montefiore's books, fiction. And I have read some very interesting books from the Little Free Libraries, not ones that I would pick on my own, but again, opened my reading vision. The one that I just recently ordered online was The Green Burial Guidebook by Elizabeth Ferner. And it's everything you need to plan an affordable, environmentally friendly burial. And this is a great time when we have these kind of pandemics to look seriously at our future planning for perhaps our demise, whether it's planned or unplanned. So thanks so much for prompting out us to keep reading.
Oh, Ruth, thank you so much for contributing your suggestions and how it's going for you. Margaret, first of all, little free libraries are certainly a lifeline to so many people who are interested in still browsing to see what's out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I pass maybe even more than seven on my daily walk. My neighborhood is just full of little free libraries, and I always get really excited, and I always like to look in too and just see what's in there. And it is always such a diverse and sometimes like sort of surprising collection of books. And I think it's such a cool way, again, to, I guess I just keep coming back to the way that books are connecting all of us in a time when we can't physically be connecting. And I just love the idea of, you know, your neighbor putting a book into the little free library and then you take it out and read it. And I think we should all like track where they come from, so you can have a little book club after, so you know who read it first and who's reading it after you, and all get together and talk about what you thought of the book. They're really wonderful things to have in a neighborhood. So I always get excited when I see one. So,
and Ruth, Kaylin, Ruth also brought up a very practical and honest thing that she's thinking about: advanced planning, the Green Burial Guidebook. Have you noticed that your customers reach out for some, some real planning and guidebooks?
I haven't noticed an uptick in it, but we always have a subset of people. Like, we literally have a section in our use book area called death, that it is about dying, the dying process. So I think that's been something that a lot of people think about, and probably more people should think about.
Yeah. Nancy, what about you at Arcadia? What do people really want these days? Are you seeing any trends?
Well, I think that people are looking for a little bit more escapism, but we're also having so many parents and grandparents, especially, that want to get books into the kids' hands, which has been really fun. You know, they're looking for a great series, something to entertain the kids. And about the little free libraries, I will admit that I have zero shame. If somebody's walking past my house, I will yell, "Do you need a book?" And I will force a book in their hand, because these other booksellers will attest that we have so many advanced readers' copies, and we just want to share them with everybody. So we just want to make sure you're all reading something.
Well, thank you all for sharing the hour with us. We deeply appreciate it. That was... we had Kaylin Bovink from the bookstore in Appleton, Margaret Leonard from Daughters in Eau Claire, and Nancy Bainan from Arcadia Books in Spring Green. And by the way, full disclosure, we should mention that Arcadia Books in Spring Green is one of WPR's business sponsors. Coming up, it's a look at nonprofit fundraising during the pandemic and how to prepare for what could be a wet spring in Wisconsin. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.